Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and you are listening to the Approaching the Natural podcast, where each week I talk to you all about my approach to health and happiness, my philosophy of health and happiness. Summed up in a sentence, it is that the closer we get to what is natural for our species by degrees, the more we thrive in this world. And that when we approach our own health and happiness with very, very, very small steps, we create a long-lasting and sustainable model that literally affects our lives for the rest of our lives. And devalues all those quick fixes and diet plans out there that we're bombarded with. How small a step, you might ask? Well, a step small enough such that you could, you might not, but you could do it every day for the rest of your life. If anything you take on is not something you think you could do or would want to do for the rest of your life, it's probably too much, and you recalibrate down. The size of your steps changes. And the more you build a good base, the more you're able to take on, much like running and everything else like that, which I'll get into. So welcome. If you're joining me for the first time, glad you're here. Go back, listen to other episodes. If you've heard them already, go back and listen to them again. It can't hurt. That's my thing. Taking a sip of espresso. This one, I swear to you, it's got a molasses thing going on. I think I've probably mentioned that before. Once in a while, I hit it. I'm not going to apologize for how great of a espresso I pull. Okay, I'm not going to apologize for that. It's a gift. I'm not going to, you know what? I'm accepting the gift. It's, you know, whatever. What am I going to do? Turn my back on it? It's insane. Quick show notes. You guys ready? Here we go. Twitter, Instagram, at Sid Garza-Hillman. Facebook, Transitioning to Health. On May 3rd, this is the last time you'll hear this announcement because May 3rd will be in a mere 6 days from now or 5 days. Yeah. My free Spreecast. Spreecast is a video platform and interactive. You can join me, shoot questions. I put them up on screen for everybody to see. Okay. Why are you so selfish with your questions? Why don't you want to share them with other people who might be able to benefit from my answers? I don't understand why you're keeping that to yourself. But you know what? That's between you and you. But in all seriousness, Spreecast.com. Spreecast. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Okay. Got a cool email today from a woman in Switzerland who wants my cashew ranch recipe. I don't want to, you know, create an international incident here, but I'm going to send it over. Okay. Got some really good emails from other folks too. How specific is that? Great to hear from you guys. Keep them coming, man. I'm telling you, I get a couple emails from people who are listening and being affected by this podcast and feeling like what they're doing is validated and that they want to, that it gives them an impetus to continue. And then they take the time to email me that and people think I'm doing cocaine. I'm in such a good mood. I'm walking through and they're like, did you just do cocaine? And I'm like, no, I got an email from somebody in Virginia. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. It's a way healthier way to get high, by the way. So that's good. Where am I going with this podcast? I have no idea. This week is weird. Last week was weird. Oh my goodness. I listen back to the podcast just to make sure that I'm not 100% insane. You know, I like to live in the 78% insane world. If I cross that line, I get a little concerned. I don't think last week crossed the line of insanity, but, I had a lot going on there. A lot going on. I don't even remember. I don't even remember what the title was. That's how it's out of my brain. I just remember listening to it, just going, geez, guy, take it easy, man. You know, it's what I do. I'm very passionate about this, and I will tell you that that comes through sometimes because I'm frustrated. It frustrates me to see people getting, you know, knocked over by the modern world and diets and just getting sucked back in every time. And it's, you know, I want to, I've got this urge to like be like, ah, don't do that. that's my professional advice. Don't do that. But it does come out if you hear that. And it's, you know, it's what I do. I love what I do. Okay. I'm just telling you that. I really do love what I do, by the way. And that's a pretty blessed kind of thing for me. I feel like I've found a cool thing. I like to love what I do. That's so that anyway, back to the Spreecast. May 3rd, Spreecast. Just go to Spreecast.com, search on Sid Garza Hillman, and you'll see the upcoming one, RSVP. It's free. Join me for an hour. What? I mean, geez, you have something better to do on a Saturday? I mean, Christmas. Get your laundry, put your laundry in the washing machine, hit start, go upstairs and log into Spreecast for free. It's never going to cost you anything. They're not selling you. They're not going to sell you anything, even. And you get to hang out with me, see what I look like live with headphones on. Mm. Espresso's gone. 5 minutes and 40 seconds into the podcast, espresso's gone. Maybe that's why I was just off the chart, a little off the charts last week. Did you guys feel like I was off the charts? No? Okay, great. Marathon this Sunday, everybody. Yes. So, oh, I remember what last week was. Steal the Moments. That was the one. That's why, because it was freaking punk rock is what it was. It's a subversive movement. It got me into that like old kind of thing that's just like burning down there in the old gut. Tapped into that whole mess. Organized mess. Anyway, my marathon is this Sunday, May 4th. So I'm going to do the Spreecast, which is free. Spreecast.com. It's free. And then I'm driving up to Humboldt County, which is about 2 hours north of where I live on the Northern California coast. It's the Redwoods. It's also where they grow a lot of marijuana. I'm not going for that purpose, at least as far as I'm going to broadcast on this podcast. But I'm going to go up there to run a race, 26.2 miles. And that marathons and weed do not mix. Okay, that's I'm sure there's a slogan there somewhere. But I'm going to drive up. Now, stuff going on with me, okay? And that is this whole marathon thing, right? So you guys who have been listening to this have, you know, I kind of document because, of course, let me reiterate, I'm going through the same things you are. We're human. We are natural. We're animals. We may dress like we're not, but we are. And we're trying to maintain a semblance of normalcy or health in regards to our species in the context of this really kind of weird world, modern world. We're a natural being in an unnatural world. I've said it and I'll keep saying it. I want you guys to burn that in your brains. Natural being in an unnatural world. Why? Because if you look at yourself and think of yourself in that way, then you can more effectively identify the things in your life that are maybe too unnatural, right? We're not going to be 100% natural living in this world. Ain't going to happen. Understand that. But maybe there's things that are like in the cuckoo town, right? There's levels, okay? It's not an all or nothing proposition, okay? It's not going to freak anybody out. But maybe if you understand that this is the fact, we are an animal. We are made of the earth. When we put things that have been shifted and adjusted by us and changed by us and altered by us on a fundamental level, like on a biochemical level, with regards to food anyway, when we put that stuff in our bodies, it's no longer understood by our bodies, at least not to the level that more natural foods are. And so when you put those things in your body, there is a stress associated with that. There is a stress inherent in the modern world, living in the modern world. There's a stress inherent there. How do we minimize that? That is the question. How do we minimize? And I'm getting ahead of myself because this is, of course, the subject of this week's episode. Okay. But back to the marathon thing. So I've been, you know, my thing, my diet analogy is, of course, my marathon training plan. I think I've done, for me, pretty darn well this whole time. And it's been, geez, you know, about 5 months of training hard. Harder than I've ever tried before, feeling really good, little bit of discomfort in my right kind of front of my calf, whatever that thing is, like in the front, not the bone, but like upper to the knee kind of thing. I've been massaging it using the roller. If you guys don't use a foam roller, you might want to look into that. I love it. I don't stretch before I run anymore. I just roll out. I stretch after. Did some reading on that, and that was a conclusion I made for myself. So I've been working on that, and that's been minimized. I'm still training, and I've been able to actually decrease the pain, which is kind of cool. There was a day where I took ibuprofen. That's the first time in 6 months, maybe. I'll maybe take it once a year. Is it not a good thing? Of course, not a good thing. Is it necessary sometimes? Yeah, sometimes. Modern world living. People ask me about supplementation sometimes. They go, you know, supplements. Well, I'm not a big supplement guy. But supplements are necessary sometimes. B12 is necessary. Why? Because we live in the modern world. If I lived in the wild, I'd be eating, you know, dirt and bacteria, and there'd be stuff, bacteria all over the place. I'd have a nice little wealth of good natural stuff in my gut. Well, we clean everything. I see who works at my market. First thing I do when I get home is clean my vegetables and my hands. And so B12 is a necessity. It's a microorganism. And if I have to supplement that to maintain better health in the context of the modern world, I'm going to do that. Do I take a multivitamin? No, I don't. Do my kids? No, they don't. Because they get the nutrition from food. Because we have transitioned, we have maintained a very, very heavy box existence. Heavy box foods. For those of you who don't know what heavy box food is. Anyway, back to the marathon before I get into the heavy box rant, trying to, you know, take a deep breath. I don't want to repeat the madness of last, I was afraid it was going to be people with pitchforks outside my house. Christmas. Oh. That was water. Okay, one espresso is enough for Sid. There it goes. Okay. So anyway, back in the marathon thing. So now I've got a week left, right? And I'm sort of like, I feel like I'm in finals week in college again. Like if, you know, like the night before finals, you're studying and somebody always goes, if you don't know it by now, you're not going to know it. And they're right. You know, like the human body is so complex that when it comes to diet and fitness, by the way, diet and movement, there are no quick fixes that can achieve better health. There's quick fixes that can achieve short-term weight loss, that's for sure, but it's not going to last, and it doesn't achieve health. Your body isn't going to adjust in 21 days or a seven-day cleanse. I've said it often, your health is going to be determined by what you do before the cleanse and what you do after the cleanse. You don't upset you don't change things upside down because you decide that 7 days you're going to drink cayenne pepper, lemon juice, and water. Ain't going to happen. Now, you might get some other benefit from that, maybe breaking the cycle of habits and things like that. Cool, good, good, good. But if you're doing it to lose weight, don't bother because you're going to gain it back. That's just what happens. We can't get on top of that kind of behavior in the modern world. In my experience with the marathon thing, you know, it's been looking at that training plan and kind of backing off a little bit and understanding I've got to make it fit in the context of my life. That's what I try to teach you guys. And my clients is how can you make healthy eating and healthy living in general fit in the context of your life, kids, jobs, you know, travel, the things of living in the modern world, commuting, the things that are of the modern world. How do you make healthy living fit in that context? It's not one size fits all. Okay, so I had to adjust my marathon plan to fit because I have to drop my kids off and then I have to be at work. So I don't have 2 hours that Hansen's training plan says I'm going to need to exercise on a frickin' Thursday. Okay, a lot of people don't have 2 hours. I'm one of them. But I have an hour, 20, you know, I was able to adjust and I've been doing fine. Okay, so I'm feeling like this now. I got a week left and it's like, if I don't know it by now, I ain't going to know it. So the body is so complex. I'm not going to gain a ton of fitness this week. Ain't going to happen. Just like it's also not going to derail my fitness if I stop running this week. I'll finish the marathon. Why? Because for the last 8 weeks, I've been running 18 miles every Sunday with little or no stress. You know, I know that I've got that. You want to talk about confidence? And this is why me working with you on this podcast and in my private practice is it's confident. That's why I talk about confidence. I'm not blowing smoke. It's real. When you build in small steps over time and you understand the direction of your own life, and you start building in these actual steps that are real to you. You decide on them. You take them on. They're forever. They're not how long. You don't do them as long as the book tells you to do them. You do them because they're adding to your life. When you put those things in your life, you get confidence with that. You get self-esteem with that. Every time I, you know, added another half a mile or a mile, which was, you know, 10 minutes more, you know, I was able to handle that. Well, doing that each time, I remember like running the first time, like running 13.2 miles on a run once, because I had already done half marathons, and I just remember crossing that little, like, I just ran 13.2. Like, that's the farthest I've ever run. That's kind of cool. Like, I was able to just kind of do that. That's at, and it's only a tenth of a mile. Adding those little steps that you can do kind of brings you to the limit each time a little bit, not in a stressful way. I didn't go from 13.1 to 40 and then get mad that I couldn't do 40 and get down on myself. Why can't I do 40? Done 13.1. I understand why I can't do 40. It just, that's the next number, right? It goes 10, 11, 12, 13, 40. Isn't that, I thought that's, but see, that's how we do in the diet realm, right? We take on a diet that is totally going from 13 to 40. And we do that diet, and then we get down on ourselves on some level when we gain all that weight back. Well, what did you expect? You can't. You're not maintainable. It's not maintainable. Okay? End of story. Boom. Stick with me here, guys. Okay, I'm not going off the rails, I promise. But for me with a marathon, I've been waffling between this thing. It was like, okay, if I'm in it now, my goal has been to break 4 hours. I didn't the last marathon I ran. I ran 4:08. Not bad. Totally fine. Good. Cool. But this time I've been training harder. I've been training almost double the miles that I did the first time. And so part of me is like, I'm feeling kind of nervous about the race. And I was like, well, why am I feeling nervous about the race? Okay, so I kind of wanted to, I spent a little time reflecting on my nervousness. Make a side note. I didn't go, I shouldn't be feeling nervous, or God, you're an idiot for feeling nervous. I was like, well, I'm feeling nervous about this. Like, why is that? Like, it's not, I always tell people, like, it's not a race. You know, like, I'm not in the front row, you know, with the guys with the, you know, the equipment and the gels. You know, like, I'm the guy 10 rows back with the shorts and, like, you know, I'm not, you know, and go, and I'm sprinting off the line. You know, I'm the guy that takes 4 minutes to get to the start line because I'm like back in the, with the people. But I'm feeling nervous. So I was like, okay, well, what's going on there? Like, this is not a race. It's fun. Like, this is, I do this. I did this. I signed up for this race because it's fun and because it's beautiful. So I'm trying to marry the two kind of things about me, where I'm going, I'm running through the redwoods. Like, I didn't just, you know, sign up for some city run that wasn't going to be pleasurable to me. Like, it's a beautiful run. It's, they say, one of the most beautiful runs in the entire country, through the redwoods. I've done the half marathon up there, so I know that to be true. This time I'm doing the full 26.2. So I'm preparing for this run, and I'm going, I signed up because it's beautiful. I signed up and I trained for it, and I also like the community of it. Like, there's very few things that are kind of all about half fun and health and everything. You know, like, it's kind of cool to lock into that. I used to hate races, like, you know, that kind of thing, pressure and everything. And I've kind of removed that. On the other hand, I've trained for this. I've trained for it, not just to finish it. I got to be honest. And this is getting into kind of what I'm talking about today, but I'll be honest. I haven't just trained to finish. I finished the last marathon. I know that I can finish a marathon. But this time I was like, you know what? I think I can run under 4. I am going to be bummed if I don't break 4 hours. I mean, I'll be honest about that too. But at the same time, I'm kind of looking at it and I'm going, I've trained hard and I want the payoff, but at the end of the day, not at the expense of the experience of being there and running through the redwoods. And that's why in the last podcast, I said that I wasn't going to run with a watch. So right when I would get to the point where I'd be like, I better have that watch, it's about 4 hours, I'm kind of having this thing of like, who is going to give a flying crap whether I break 4 other than me? And what is 4 hours anyway, but a random time that just, I could have said, you know what, I really want to beat 3:57:20. That's going to be my, I mean, it's random. I didn't get to 4 hours in 1 second and go, okay, I just kind of put that 4 hours out. It's random. It's random. Okay. Do I want to beat it? Yeah, because it's kind of fun to like push yourself a little bit, train. I think I can do it. So I've had to consider both sides of me. The part that me that wants to enjoy the run through the Redwoods with the community of people that I don't even know, but there is that certain thing of like being part of that thing and that community and that group. And it's fun. But I don't want to discount the other part of me that I worked hard for this. So what I had to do was understand that I don't want to make one or the other go away. They're both part of who I am. But at the end of the day, what I realize is that when it comes down to it, I would rather give up the breaking 4 hours guy in favor of the wanting to enjoy the experience guy. And that's so I'm going to push and I'm going to try to break 4 hours. But if I don't, while I might be disappointed, if I don't break 4 hours, but I have a really fun experience and a run through the Redwoods, I'm going to be okay with that. If I don't break 4 hours, and then, but was stressed the whole run about looking at my watch and the timer and making sure that I break 4 hours, and then I still don't break 4 hours. Bummer, man. So I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to do the best I can on that race. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to push. And I hope that I'm pretty confident that my training will pay off. If it doesn't, you know what? If I have a good time, hey, man, good, right? I'm going up with my dad. We're going to have a fun, I'm like, come up with me. So he's going to drive up and we're going to drive up together. I'm going to make a mix. I don't think he listens to this podcast. So I'm going to make a mix of all like the just music that I grew up with him listening to this, and I would hear it. And just now I'm cringing about it. And I'm going to put that in a mix. Neil Diamond. Good night. As a surprise. I think my mom listens to this. Don't tell dad, will you? I'm going to get in the car and go, hey, I made a mix for the trip. Neil Diamond. Song Blue. And then followed by little Kenny Rogers, huh? The Gambler. Everybody, you on board with me? 1,400 people just hit stop on their iPad. Okay, moving on. I did mention a few episodes ago that I was in the meditation part of my running. And again, like in the last episode, I was like, I want that word back. Every time I say the word meditation, it kind of makes me cringe, and that's a bummer for me. They did that to me. They being the hippies. I'm really not anti-hippie. I have friends that are hippies, but anyway, they took that word and they've mashed it and they threw it back at us. Now people who are just like kind of in the world, we don't get to use that word because we don't have dreadlocks. Okay, here I go again. In the meditation of my running, in the practice of listening and being aware, while I'm running, it's been, if nothing else, my training plan during this time, and this wasn't part of my training plan, but because I set the goal of a marathon and embarked on this plan and this training thing, which these are kind of the benefits of that, right, is that I have learned a lot about myself, and I've learned a lot about that process of paying attention and how that can translate into all other parts of your life. It's been, I'm not there yet. I mean, it's a practice, right? But I've definitely started to see that kind of awareness, how that affects. And one thing I noticed, I think I mentioned in a podcast or two ago, is that I believe that it was totally a part of our natural design and a necessity of survival, which was to be present. Because obviously if we are wandering off and we're sitting in the middle of a forest meditating with our eyes closed, we could get, attacked. If we're walking through a trail or running through a trail, and we don't pay attention to the terrain, we can trip, fall, hit a hole, break our leg. I mean, there was a certain amount of being present, and we've lost that need in the modern world. But what I've done in my running plan is just try to work through that a little bit and see what that's like and enjoy that. And that's definitely what I want to carry into the marathon too, because that's part of the training that I have done is understand that too. But it was evidenced by a couple of weeks ago where I was not paying attention and I fell and I bloodied my leg. Now, the irony is that I was literally, this is how like the modern world seeps in. So I'm running and I'm fine, and then all of a sudden my mind wanders and I start thinking about, I'm not joking, I'm thinking about Instagram. And so I think about Instagram, I don't even know what, and I fall because I don't pay attention. So I hit this piece of terrain, I fall, boom, blood on the leg. Instagram, just, so what I did was got back from my run. And guess what I did? Took a picture of my leg and freaking Instagrammed it. Huh? Is that awesome? Won that battle. I didn't win that battle. Instagram won that battle. In fact, Instagram basically handed me my ass. They were like, you think about us while you're running? Boom, you're blood. They handed me my ass. Now, my ass was, you know, put through the Mayfair filter, and it was adjusted. Contrast was adjusted, a little brightness adjusted, a little soft focus, and then handed it to me and said, you better pay better attention in your runs because this is your ass. We're handing it to you because you let your mind wander. This is only by way of illustrating the need, but the experience. And what that means in terms of your lives and with diets and things like that, diets can be distractions. But adding small steps, what I believe, adding small steps is a meditation. Whatever those steps are, some of those steps can be food related, they can be fitness related, they can be social related, they can be work related. The steps that you set for yourself are based on who you want to be and how you want to live, or what I would say is who you truly are. And those steps in and of themselves are meditations. You want to know why? Because you're doing them not because a book says, now it's time to do that step. You're doing it because you see your eye on the ball. You know what the ball really is. It isn't weight loss, guys. It isn't weight loss. It's health and happiness. You know why? Because you're designed to be healthy and happy. You're designed to be healthy and happy. That's a natural state for us. That's not a state in the wild. We wouldn't have to fight to be. We're going to be as healthy and happy as we can be in the wild. We're going to be as healthy as we can be because we're going to get, when we find food, we're going to eat it. And it's just going to hit our level of health. Now, in the wild, of course, none of that food would be processed and extracted and isolated and all the stuff that we do to food in the modern world. So chances are, in the wild, you're going to be healthier. And not in conflict. Okay? So that's the... Oh, so one other thing I should... Okay, so this is good. One other thing I want to mention is that I forgot to, in the show notes, my website, transitioningtohealth.net. Go there, put your email in, you get a free download of my chapter, first chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. It's the chapter on nutrition. Now, I want to remind everybody what I do real quick in this podcast and in my private practice. Yes, I'm a certified nutritionist, but the fact is that nutrition plays around 10% of my work. And if you'll notice that I don't talk about food in terms of nutrient value of food like ever. I mean, once in a while, and mostly it's like, everybody take a deep breath, right? Like calcium supplements. Whoa, hello, off the charts. Nutty nut nut, not working. Also, worst bone health in the world, in the United States anyway. Highest levels of calcium. It's not, here's what I need you to accept, or at least to think about, okay? This is why, by the way, I love my job. Like, I have two new clients right now. Like, I just brought them on. They're freaking awesome. I love the challenge of the fun, and a lot of it is just, like, working with them and, you know, derailing that kind of diet thing. Like, we are so programmed. Like, I don't think people understand, like, how programmed we are for Okay, I was in the market the other day. I don't even know. It's probably like two issues ago of People Magazine. It was some like weight loss special issue or like diet special issue. I'm sure you guys have seen it. I mean, that kind of stuff. You want to make your head explode? Look at that thing. I mean, I was thumbing through it just going, what? Really? Are you kidding? Like every other thing. And it was like, show these, you know, intense photos of people who've lost 150 pounds. Of course, they're still not at a healthy weight, right? And the question is, where's the follow-up 3 years from now? Like, why don't we do that? Oh, no, well, we're on to the next thing, right? I mean, there's no follow through on this. It's sending you messages that put pressure on yourself. And there's a bunch of conflicting information in there, like, you know, low carb and the da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's like crazy stuff. And it's just insane. But that's one example. There's 15,000 things at any given moment that are going to be adding to that kind of craziness. And here's the thing. There is a reason why wild animals are somehow getting by without nutritionists. How is it that wild animals, they're not overweight? How is it that no wild animals are overweight? How is that possible without fitness trainers? How is that without diet plans, without books on fitness? How is that without gyms? How is it that gorillas are just fit And they're not overweight or underweight. They're just kind of, unless they're, you know, moved around in some place or hunted or poached by, you know, us, they're just eating. Elephants, the right weight. They're not overweight. They're the right weight for their species. Whales, the right weight for their species. They're a little fatter than monkeys, yeah, because they have needs for layer of fat, but they're not overweight. They're not impeded by the weight on their body. It's not causing structural damage. It's not causing energy deficiency in the way that they move. I wonder how can they do that without nutritionists? We are so essential, nutritionists and dietitians. We're so essential. If we don't measure your day out and count calories and tell you exactly what to do and when, how are you going to survive? You could just die without that. There's a reason why one chapter in my book is on nutrition, and it's pretty general. You want to know why? It doesn't have to be any more than that. Here's the picture. You want to know? Take notes. Ready? You can be 100% healthy by eating fruits and vegetables and eat enough of them to support the amount of calories you need to do your activity. Done. Okay, now moving on. How are you going to do that or get as close as you can to that in the modern world? And that is 90% of my practice and this podcast. You go out and eat plants. When you find them, eat them in the wild because they're not going to be messed with by humans. We're not going to be extracted and refined and everything. You eat those plants. If for some reason you're in a place on this earth where the plants are not abundant, or it's winter and the snow has covered those plants, or they're not growing, they're not green because it's not spring, find an animal. Hunt it down with your body. Move your body. Go get that animal, hunt it down, and eat that until the plants grow, because the plants are going to be better and the animal's going to be, you know, the next best thing. But the paleo diet says you should eat meat 1,500 times a day. And it should be meat that you get at Safeway in a cellophane package that's been traveled and was also, by the way, raised in a pen and fed corn when it's supposed to be eating grass. That's what the paleo people did. They were so smart. The paleo people love bacon. You guys are getting me riled up again, and I don't even know what the problem is. It's whoever's on the elliptical. Yeah, you. That you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you know who you are. You're getting me all crazy. Okay. We make these things more complicated. Now, is it super duper 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 easy to eat well and move your body? Yes, it is the easiest thing in the world to eat well and move your body. You don't need to measure anything. You don't need to count anything. It's easy. All you get, you don't need to go to a gym. You don't need to carve out 30 minutes. Move your body to go get your food. Ooh, wait, that's weird. Yeah, you know why? Because that's not how it is in the modern world. It's very, very easy in the wild. It's because it's how you would live. It's integrated into the life that you live. In the modern world, it's not. We don't have to eat healthy food. We have a choice of not doing that every day and every minute. We don't have to move our bodies. We have a choice of not moving our bodies every day, every minute. And that is the difficulty. That's the exception of why it isn't easy to live healthy and to move our bodies, because of the modern world. So again, my job in this podcast, and I do see it as a job, like I wouldn't be talking every week here if I didn't have a mission, and that is that I want you to break this idea that somehow it's necessary for all this overthinking when it comes to health and happiness. It's not. There's no reason to overthink it. Understand how simple it is, and then understand how difficult it is to enact these things in the modern world. Accept those two realities. It's simple, but very difficult to do. Once you get that, you're not going to fall prey to quick fixes and diets, because you're going to understand that that's a cheat. That's making you think it's easier than it is. It's not easy. It can become a part of who you are, so that you don't have to think about it, and so that it is actually really easy for you, but that transition takes time. And that's what this podcast is dedicated to helping you through, is that transition to the point where it just becomes part of who you are, and then you don't have to think about it. I don't struggle every day. I'm not perfect. I'm not even close. But I'm in my practice at a certain level, and I'll be honest, more than most, because this is what I think about and do, and I teach it. It's my life. But I don't struggle every day with what I eat. I don't walk around just going, oh my God, it's a pain in my ass. It's what I do. I Instagrammed the other day a picture of my jars. You know, I'm not lying when I say, like, I make a big shake of all my bananas and dates and blueberries. And I throw it in jars and I go to work. I don't think, I literally don't think about it. Like, I don't wake up and go, oh man, what I really want is bacon and eggs. You know what I really want? Crunch berries. Because of the berries. Yeah. Okay. So should we get busy here? Okay, let's get busy. Lighten the load. Now, that's the subject of this week's episode, is lighten the load. We'll be right back. This is Sid Garza Hillman, Approaching the Natural. Now, okay, so lightening the load. So I want to talk, so when I talked about nutrition just now in terms of like how easy it is, the long and short of it is that, so my philosophy again is the more natural we get by degrees, right? The closer we get to what is most natural for our species is better for us. In a way to look at that is to understand that it's also what is the lightest on our on ourselves. The movement, the food, the closer you get to most the most natural movement, which would be running when you need to, walking when you need to, part of your life. Remember, I said it's like integrated into your life. The food that you would find in the wild, whether it be animal or plants, but mostly it would be plants in general. If you had them, if not, then you wouldn't. But again, you're not going to expend that much energy to go chase down a little rodent or something hard to take down. You know, if you have plants nearby, who would? I wouldn't. It essentially is lightening the load. The closer you get to what is natural is the very foods that are lightest on our bodies. The more natural the food, the body understands that food with little stress, with minimal stress, compared to foods that are highly unnatural that go in the body and the body doesn't understand them. It carries a heavy load. Fried potatoes, French fries, but they're vegan, Sid. That's why this ain't about vegan. It's not a vegan podcast. This is about the most nutrient-dense foods and trying to increase those foods. They're not all one food. There's not one, this is the most nutrient. There's classes of foods for sure, and there's foods that carry that are heavier box than others and some that are lighter box than others, and a certain heavy box food might have a food that's heavier than it and it's heavier than another food. But in general, how do you know which is a heavy box food versus a light box food? The less it's messed with, and that goes for animals and plants. The less you mess with food, the closer it is to its natural state, the closer you're going to get to your natural state. And that's because it lightens the load. You want to talk about the heaviness that we bear, that People Magazine issue. That makes it puts a weight on us of what we should be doing. Oh, I need to go on a diet. I should be eating better. I part of lightening the load is understanding what it is that you want from life, first of all, and understand that, so that when you pick up that People Magazine, you don't get swept up into the craziness of what Gwyneth Paltrow's doing. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow has a different life than you do. Alicia Silverstone has a different life than you do. They have the ability to do things that you don't have, but you might have the ability to do things that they can't have. You've got to craft your own thinking and your own life. That's it. Except for Hugh Jackman, I do what he does. I do what he does. What he does works. I do exactly what he does. It's a little restrictive, I got to be honest. In the modern world, sometimes we have supplementation. You know, I'm going to come back to supplementation. How much supplementation I recommend is to counteract how unnatural you are. Okay? So B12, I supplement with B12 because it's unnatural for me to clean and eat vegetables that don't have soil on them and bacteria and probably feces. Glad I finished my espresso already. But the fact that it's unnatural for me to eat food that is devoid of all those little particles and bits that feed the bacteria in my gut, that's unnatural. I recognize that. So instead of, you know, not washing my vegetables, it's just a modern reality, I supplement with B12. Now, sometimes I take a digestive enzyme. Okay, if I'm eating heavy food or bread, and bread's not healthy, but I eat it once in a while, you know, it's awesome. Now, I try to stick with whole grain. I make steps in that regard. It doesn't make bread healthy per se. It makes it healthier. Again, there's that step, right? White bread, more unnatural than whole wheat bread. And then I go to like whole grain, gluten-free bread. It's steps in the right direction of natural. It doesn't make whole grain bread a natural food per se. It makes it more natural because it's a little closer to its natural state. And that's okay. Talk about lightening the load. The load isn't lightened when you go from really enjoying bread in your life to not having any bread because a diet book told you to. So now you're not eating any bread and you're miserable. And you went from 13 miles to 40 miles because a book told you to. Whereas if you start the process of recognizing the food you eat, understanding the food you eat, and then making that step, it's a step that you can go, well, yeah, I could probably do whole grain versus, or like a mix maybe, like there's breads that have some whole grain and some white flour. That's a good step. But then there's the meditation of that, and that is the act of being aware. And that's how I look at meditation. That's not sitting in a room with a pillow. It's fine, but this is not that. This is being aware, first and foremost. I'll take a digestive enzyme. I'll take a hydrochloric acid after I eat. These are things that I do because, and I don't do them every day. I don't even do them every week. But if I happen to have a meal that's a little harder to digest, I want to lighten the load. The reason I do them is to lighten the load on my body, is to help my body break down food that is unnatural. Here's when I don't do a digestive enzyme or a HCL. When I'm eating fruits and vegetables, because my body gets them. I can tell. It gets them. I'm boom, boom. It's processed. It's fine. I got all this energy. But when I eat something that's like heavy and just, you know, maybe a quantity that I'm not used to or something like that, I want to offload a little of that burden. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, a lot of triathletes now, a lot of ultra marathoners, like they're not eating heavy food while they're running, and certainly not when they're recovering, because that's a digestive strain on their bodies. You want to know why sport drinks are effective, or at least why we think we need sport drinks, is because they don't take a lot of digestive strain. Now, do you need sport drinks? No, you don't. You can drink coconut water, and you know, sometimes I soak a little goji berries in the water overnight, you know, a little pinch of Himalayan salt, you got yourself a sport drink. But the fact of the matter is, it's a quick energy source. What does quick mean? It means it's processed with minimal digestive load. It means your body's not having to expend a whole bunch of energy to convert that to a usable energy. You're not using up energy to create energy. That's lightening the load. This is like the watery. See, I'm like a watery food advocate. I'm not a raw foodie. I eat cooked food. But in terms of when you go raw, like, I'm not a raw foodie. I'm not in that world of like, I'm a raw foodist, which is fine. But again, some of those guys are eating a ton of nuts, a ton of seeds, dried. Yes, dried at low temperature, below 118 degrees. But it's still stuff that is, you know, the water's taken out of it. It's hard to digest. There is a digestive burden. Again, it's not all or nothing. That stuff's maybe better than, you know, French fries for sure. Not maybe, for sure. Of course it is. But it's a spectrum, and it's where you sit on that. But when you understand the information and go, well, food in its natural state has water in it, even animals, if you killed a wild animal and ate it raw, it's got water in it, trust me. You know, our bodies are made up of mostly water. Well, that's there until we cook the crap out of it or dehydrate it. So in the wild, we understand that, and we don't even understand it. We don't even need to understand it. We just eat it. But in the modern world, we have to understand that so we can say, okay, well, I really like mashed potatoes and I have my chicken and my white rice, but I'm going to have some watery vegetables, watery plants too, because the watery food is the hydrating food. It's the food that's easy on my digestive tract. It's easy on my body, and it helps my body digest the other food that I'm eating. That helps lighten the load. I try to eat. Some days I've been experimenting with finishing eating by 6. I don't adjust my calories. I don't even know how many calories I eat. I just eat. But I try to finish around 6:30, and I've great strides. you know, like I'm feeling good. It's again, it's that energy thing. Like I wake up in the morning feeling better. Like I'm not weighed down by eating at 9 and not properly digesting everything before I go to sleep. I wake up a little weighed down. If I finish eating by 6 or 6:30, I can tell the difference. Now, all y'all are going, oh my God, okay, so I got to stop eating by after 6 because it's a dinner. It's like, no. Your life may not dictate that. You need to figure out how you can do the best you can in your life. And or maybe 6 p.m. eating by then is great for you, but you have to ease into it. I mean, see if it works for you. If doing that tomorrow adds no stress to your life and you can like be like, yeah, man, I'm like, no problem. I get home from work at 4. I can eat by 6. That's not going to stress me out at all. Great. Do it because it's good for you to finish eating a little bit earlier. You know, 6 or 7, doesn't have to be 6, but I mean, you know, finish a few hours before you go to sleep. Of course, that's healthy. Of course. Just like eating fruits and vegetables are healthy. The question is, can you put that into your life in a way that doesn't add to the load? It's lighten the load. Diets don't lighten the load. Diets change your life upside down. They put you through a whole bunch of rigmarole. They're this, and you have, you know, and you're trying to get through this thing, and then boom, burnout, gain weight. Yeah, because you've added burden to yourself. In the realm of mental, in the kind of the realm of mental thinking, you know, mental thinking, hello. In the world of how we approach our lives in the modern world, lightening the load is, the way that I look at it, is about getting it all out on the table. Lightening the load is lifting the burden of the messages that we tell ourselves without, when we're not thinking about it. You're fat, you're stupid, you're ugly. You can't do this. You can't succeed. It's also lightening the load by understanding that to get on top of that stuff isn't to then, well, I've got to just think positively. I've got to just tell myself, it's magic if I just tell myself that I'm not fat, that I'm curvy, that's the reality now. Lightening the load isn't about fooling yourself with positive messages, because they too are not you. They're not you. If your spouse says, oh, you know, you're not overweight, you look good, you think you don't know that on some level, that that's not true, and you can convince yourself, well, my spouse told me that I was fit, so I just must be fit. You know. And if you stay in that world, I'll put it this way, if you convince yourself every day of telling yourself these things that aren't true, I love my job. I absolutely love my job, when you really don't love your job. On some level, you know that. And if you can try to tell yourself that you do, that's where you're going to stay. You're going to be a person that has a load on them, because it is conflict every time that message comes through and you have the counter feeling, which is that you know deep down it ain't true. That's just, you're stuck in that place. So lightening the load isn't like, well, just tell yourself that you love your job. Manifest it. Instead, take steps to get that stuff out on the table. It's not faking positivity. It's developing a strength. When I say, go to my website, homepage, I help people take control of their lives. That's what's happening here. You develop your own strength by taking small steps that help you understand who you are, help you understand who you want to be. And when you begin those steps, you become liberated from the conflict. You start to feel and understand that it is safe for you to acknowledge that you're overweight. You're not a bad person. There's no judgment. It's just like, I look at my body and go, hey, you know, you can look at your body and go, I'm carrying extra weight. I'm carrying extra weight. My husband tells me that I'm not overweight, but I know that I am. I don't need to worry about weight loss, because I listen to Sid's podcast and I understand that weight is a side effect of health. So I guess if I'm holding extra weight, maybe my body's not as healthy as it should be or as it's designed to be. So, okay, cool. But you can get through that when you open yourself up to that truth. And sometimes that's painful, and that's why I advocate for small steps. If it's too much for you, just begin the process of adding in a slice of celery, and you know, stalk of celery, a few slices of cucumber. Just that act will trust me, it opens things up. It's about developing your own personal strength over time, so that more and more you can look openly and honestly at your life and begin to liberate yourself from the very actions that don't truly serve you. And guess what, guys? It's been a long time since I did my selfishness episode. But we are designed to be selfish. That our bodies and minds are designed to be selfish. Your body is trying to do the best it can right now, guess what, for itself. Your body is not trying to make anybody else healthy other than itself. It is trying to clean, repair, and metabolize, and build, and digest, and do all those things for the good of its own organism. Trust me, there's no altruism there. Your mind is designed to be happy. You are designed to find joy. That could be joy from serving others. That can be joy from helping people. But trust me, man, you are designed. It's how it's manifest in the world. How is your selfishness, which is a, it's just there. That's a fact. But how is that manifest in the modern world? I think that when you deny the fact that you're selfish, then it comes out, it swings, the pendulum swings the other way and you become greedy. And that's not selfishness. That's greed. But when you go, yeah, man, that's my natural design, like it's to serve myself. Then all of a sudden you just go like, well, if I'm serving myself, then maybe I'd want to take steps in the world that create a better world for me and for the people that I love because I love them. And I'm not going to do things that just serve me because it makes the world not a good place. And I want to be in a good world. I mean, that's why, you know, wild animals are in balance with their natural surroundings. Humans aren't. We're living in a supreme imbalance with the natural world. And we're suffering because of it, by the way. In a huge, huge way, in the way that we grow food, in the way that we raise animals. It's an imbalance. It's an unnatural system because we think we're smarter than Mother Nature every time. Lycopene, it's fantastic. It's in tomatoes. You know what we should do? We should take it out of tomatoes. We should put it in a pill. Because if we put in a pill, then we can put in a bottle and we can sell it for money. I wonder why cultures that don't eat dairy and that consume a fraction of the calcium we do have healthy bones. I don't know. I don't care. If you have 1,200 milligrams of calcium and you put it in a pill, you're going to be fine. Don't read the statistics about bone health. That's just ridiculous. Don't look at the people who are hunched over and who are breaking their hips. They're just not eating enough dairy. We think we're smarter than Mother Nature. We don't trust Mother Nature. I think probably because we don't trust ourselves. But we go, you know what? I'm not okay with, I mean, this is why I love my job. Because it freaks people out to be like, I got kale, but like how much calcium? Well, how much? As if the pill you're eating guarantees that you get all the calcium in that pill and that pill is of a quality that's going to be used in your body in the right ways. There's no guarantees in that. In fact, there's the opposite of the guarantees in that. That's where they're finding more and more that supplementation, multivitamins and whatnot, they're not helpful. They're not helpful because the body doesn't understand a pill. It creates a heavy load on your body if your body has to try to figure out how to use isolated and extracted nutrients that are put into a pill with powders and magnesium stearate and all these fillers and crazy stuff. And it goes in your body. Your body's going to do the best it can. Why? Because that's how it's designed. It's going to go, all right, well, I'll just make do with this. But by the way, when I'm busy making do with this stuff, I can't tend to the other stuff. I can't tend to the virus that just got in me. I don't have time to deal with that virus. That's going to go ahead and wreak havoc because I got to deal with this, you know, this nutty nut resveratrol capsule. Can you just eat a grape? Your body asks. Is there any way you can just have a grape? Because I get the resveratrol, but I get all the other stuff too. Can you just eat a grape next time instead of the pill? Because the pill's freaking me out, man. And why am I sitting up straight for 10 hours in front of a screen? What's going on there? The body says. And scene. That's a scene from my upcoming one-man show, Your Body on You. The more we minimize, the more we eventually potentially eliminate the actions in our lives that are in conflict with our natural design, the freer we become. That freedom is lightness. It's a burden lifted. Do you know how many people have felt a burden lifted when working with me because they realize that they never have to do a diet again? And they're like just done with it? They're done with it. Done with dieting for the rest of their lives. Why? Because they knew instinctually that they didn't want to live like that anyway. Even if the diet worked, even if they could stick to the diet for the rest of their lives, they don't want to follow a diet. You know why? It's not natural. When you, over time, learn about yourself and you begin to think about yourself in a way that is self-serving, that you understand that, and you start to look at your life like, where am I lightening the load already? Maybe you, that's a good thing to ask. What are you doing already that's lightening the load? And you start to understand that about yourself, and the more you get to know about yourself, the freer you become from pressure, depression, anger, resentment, unhappiness about your body, unhappiness about your work, unhappiness about your relationships. When you start to come from to your life from a place of lightening the load and waking up each day, a little alarm on your phone that just says, take it easy on yourself. We, our bodies are like kids. We are in a way like, we're like children still. Our bodies have not adapted to the modern world. Our bodies are still trying to figure the hell what's going on here. If our bodies had adapted to multivitamins and white bread and Twinkies and Big Macs, we'd be the healthiest species on the earth. The reason why we're not is because our bodies haven't adapted to that. We can get by. Our bodies, because they're so brilliant, because of Mother Nature, they'll process a Big Mac, but not without cost. Not without cost. And the energy that is expended, I want to make this other point about how, you know, like we know the truth, like this is like the positive thinking thing. Like there is a thing like you're going to stay in that place where you're just like, well, I'm just going to tell myself that I'm not these things, but I know deep down. Well, there's also, you're going to stay there, but there's also energy expended in that. That energy is weighing you down. That takes effort. To maintain a facade takes effort. It takes effort. It's a burden that you are bearing on you. And you, when you lighten that load by going, you know what, this isn't working for me. Like, I know the truth. I'd rather take ownership and take control and start taking steps over time. But you have to understand the conflicts first. And that means getting underneath the veil, lifting the veil. I always talk about getting behind the veil. Get behind the veil. But that's easier said than done. And I'm not saying that everybody should do that today starting now. No, that's not even possible for some people. And for some people, it's just very painful. And that's why, first and foremost, it's to understand who you are and who you want to be. And say, you know what? I acknowledge that I'm overweight, that my body's holding on to overweight, too much weight. I acknowledge that that is a sign that I am not healthy. And it's a sign that I'm not happy or as happy as I want to be. Regardless of what my spouse tells me and regardless of what the fact that People Magazine all of a sudden determined that this look is beautiful this year and that next year there's going to be a different look that's beautiful. How do you feel? How do you feel about yourself? Over time, when you start adding positive, you want to talk about positive? Don't tell yourself a positive message. Act a positive message. Eat a piece of apple. Get up in the morning and have a glass of water. That's how you counteract the conflict of you know, compartmentalizing these feelings down inside you is to take positive action, because that's control. When you eat an apple in the morning or you take a glass of water or a stalk of celery, whatever thing you can do every day, where if I said, could you do this for the rest of your life? Yeah, hell yeah, I could drink a glass of water for the rest of my life. Now, may there be a day where you don't? Sure. But you could, because it's not that big of a deal for most people. Well, the stuff that's not that big of a deal changes over time. For me, it's not that big of a deal to eat 12 bananas and the shake that I made today. 12 bananas, 12 dates, and a handful of blueberries. I didn't measure the blueberries. Just throw them in there. And by the way, I didn't even really count the bananas. I kind of keep an eye on it because people ask. I just fill up the blender. Honestly, just fill up the blender with water. Boom, blend it all up, throw it out. It takes me 5 minutes and it's no time expended. It fits perfectly in my life. It may not fit perfectly in your life yet. Or may ever. It may never. It may never fit perfectly in your life. So what? But what will? What will? And when you ask that question, you're already starting to lighten the load. What will fit in my life? That diet that you do 3 times a year obviously doesn't fit in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it 3 times a year. You'd be just living it. Now, that's why in the wild, there are no diets. The safety that we feel when we have a diet and that's measured and we can read in the book that we are having this many calories and this many milligrams of this and IUs of that is a false sense of security. It's a false sense of security. It's not real. when we lift the veil and we get to underneath about why we want to go to those diets, why we do the 30 days without sugar, why we, you know, hire a fitness trainer, why we do P90X, is because we want to be happy and healthy. Understand that as your baseline. When you understand that as your baseline, you are beginning the process of lightening the load. It is very hard to survive in the modern world. Well, I'll put it this way. You can survive. We're all surviving. We're all alive. It is very hard to thrive in the modern world. But over time, you can introduce activities and actions in your life that make it eventually so that it's part of your life and that you're moving through this world not 100% natural, because while you're still in this world, brother and sister, you ain't going to be 100% natural. But maybe you can get a little closer. You know, maybe you can get a little closer. And maybe lightening the load is understanding each day that we, like I said, our bodies are kind of like children, where we're kind of unfamiliar with this world. We're kind of going through this place of like, I've never been here before. This is kind of weird. And mentally, we're kind of like kids, like in the sense of like, if I said tomorrow you can't do this, this, and this, like most of us dig our heels in and go, well, we're doing that. You know, and that's kind of like the reaction of the paleo Atkins people is like, I mean, I'm eating it and I got licensed to do it now. I'm eating meat 4 times a day. When you remove the pressure of all that stuff, that lightens the load. When I go, I could go to McDonald's right now. I could hit stop on my MacBook and head up to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. Nobody is stopping me. I'm not financially limited by doing that. I'm not even nutritionally limited by doing that. One Big Mac ain't going to affect me either way, nutritionally. That I don't do a Big Mac is because, not because nutritional levels, it's for other reasons. The action of doing that isn't worth it to me. It would probably even taste good. I remember how it tastes anyway. But when I say I can't have a Big Mac, then I think about that and then I go like, well, this sucks. This is a miserable way to live. But when I go at any time of any day, I could totally have a Big Mac, it lightens the load. It takes the pressure off. It's like the kid, you know, like my daughter was complaining about going to horse lessons the other day. She likes to do horse lessons, but that morning she wasn't into it. She was tired and everything. I said, fine, don't go to horse lessons. We'll call the teacher right now and cancel. As soon as I picked up the phone, she's like, no, 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 no. She wanted that kind of resist. She wanted to like play that resistance. I was like, hey, man, your choice. If you don't want to do horse lessons, don't do horse lessons. I'm picking up the phone. I knew that she wanted to go. And there was also the message of like, you committed to doing this. And so I was actually picking up the phone to just like cancel them for good, because I was like, if you're not going to commit and show up to where you promised you'd be, then we're going to just stop them. It's fine. But that's a choice you made and that's cool. But that's, you know, that's a choice you made. You got to own that choice. And that's part of what we need to do in the modern world as adults, is own the choices we make. I mean, I've joked around about my struggle with Numenos, like it's an Oreo knockoff, Numens. I actually think they're better than Oreos. They taste better anyway. And it's hard for me to resist those. That's like the thing I don't have in the house. Why? Because I'll eat way too many. But an interesting thing happened when a few weeks ago we had Numenos in the house. I said, they're in the house. I'm probably going to overeat them. It's what it is. I don't have them in the house, but about 1 or 2 times a year. If I have 15 of them even right now, it's not going to tip the scales. Why? Because I understand, and I'm hoping you guys get to understand, that it's what you do most of the time, right? Well, what my most of the time is so effective for me that I'm feeling good. If I eat 15 Numenos, whoopty, just ain't going to tip the scale. There's no conflict there. So guess what I did? I had 2 Numenos and I was like, I'm done. Why? Because it was in that space of awareness and I took the pressure off. I lightened the load on me. I didn't say, oh, you can't have any Numenos, or you're a bad person because you can't help yourself. I was like, you know what? If I have them, freaking have them. You know, like, and I kept that awareness and there was no struggle. I had 2 and I was like, I'm done. I mean, that's a huge win for me in terms of my own happiness. I felt good. I didn't feel conflicted. I had 2 Numenos and I was done. I didn't wish I had more. I didn't think, God, I'm restricting myself. Oh, I wish I could have more. I was just like, let it go. You got it. It's you. Fine. Next week, you're not going to have them in the house, because most of the time you don't want to do that. I don't choose to do that most of the time, because why? That would affect my health. Not because I'd be a bad person because of it, but because my health would be in a different place if I ate Numeno Oreos every day. It's decisions you make about your own life. lighten the load by sending the message that the small steps that you take in your life are 100% your choice. Understand that. That's a load lightener right there. When you take a glass of water, it's because you're choosing to. And when you choose to, that's an action, not a reaction. And you're not burdened by your upbringing and burdened by what you're supposed to do because the diet told you to do it. And maybe you have a day where you have a bunch of stuff going on. You can't follow that diet. And then all of a sudden you're feeling guilty for not following the diet because, you know, you couldn't because you had to go on a business trip and you had to go out for a dinner and there was nothing that fit into the diet. Oh, I feel crappy. I wasn't able to stick to it. All these messages. That's a major load on your body and your mind. It's a major, major load. Lighten the load. Take it easy. Take a deep breath whenever you can. Understand that your body, even in the modern world, is doing the very best it can. It is doing the very best it can right now while you're listening to this. Your body is in full force with an evolutionary design that is not going to be undone by us in this generation. I'm telling you. And understand that your body is there to serve itself. And the more that you help it do that, the better you can do. If your mission in life is to serve others, great. You can't do that unless you serve yourself well. The way you think, the way you feel, how happy you are in the world, that's how you affect other people. By example, Albert Schweitzer. Example isn't the one thing in influencing others. It's the main thing. To be the example of health and happiness, to affect others in that way, and to have the simple ability to affect change in this world starts with us. People don't want to hear that. Nobody's going to do this for you. You can get help in the process from this podcast. It's what I do as for my job that I love, but nobody's going to do it for you. A diet makes you think somebody's going to do it for you. The question is just this: what is the it? What are you trying to have somebody do it for you? Nobody can make you healthy and happy but you. Nobody can make you healthy and happy but you. It is always your choice. Even the diet you do, it is your choice. And when the more you own that, the more you offload that stress on your body of feeling trapped, of feeling like you should because People Magazine has these kinds of things and the media is bombarding you with the pictures of photoshopped women and men. And then you feel pressure. And that's the load. Oh, I should be doing it. I really need to diet. I really need to be losing weight. Oh God, you know what I need to do? I need to start exercising. Oh my God, I need to start exercising. Find out what you're doing already that is helping you yourself. And also understand that the Ben and Jerry's ice cream that you eat is an attempt to lighten the load, guys. Because you might have had a day where you're like not feeling good, and that's a treat. And it makes you feel good in that moment. That's, you're programmed to lighten the load. You're programmed to find out how to live lighter. You're programmed how to figure out day to day the lightest way to live. That's already built into you. The question is, in the modern world, which are the things that are long lasting and are going to affect you, lighten the load for a long time, or things that are going to lighten the load in the short term? The short term load lighteners are quick fixes. They're things that affect change in a very narrow way, i.e. weight loss. It's a very narrow change. It's not a big picture change. It's a scale change. And that's fine. It's just understand what that is. And then understand that if you want true effective change for the better in terms of your survival on this planet and the way you live on this planet, it takes lightening the load in ways that are long-term. Long-term ways that affect change in your body, your very complex body, over time. And might I add that the heavier the box food and the more natural the food, the more light the load on your body, also the more light the load on the planet. That the more processing and the way our food is designed, it's burdening the planet. We're not separate from the planet. When the heavier the load on our bodies by lighter box foods, those are the very same foods that are hard for us to maintain all the energy it takes to produce these foods. The more energy it takes to produce food, the more energy it takes your body to break that food down. How's that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, as my dad would say. And he wasn't even talking about weed. I think he was talking about tobacco. The more energy it takes to produce the food that we do, the more energy it takes our bodies to make sense of that, to use it. And we all are breaking down as a result. So if we can start to bring back a little more of what's natural to us, a little more of what's not messed with, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. Lighten the load, everybody. It's okay. You guys are doing great. You're listening to this podcast. That's step one. Okay? Just hang with me. Hang with me. Between podcasts, you go back in the world and you're bombarded by the craziness and by the, you know, the pictures and the media and all that kind of stuff. Then you come back and just get a little reality check. Now, the question is, in between my podcasts, where can you get little reality checks? Where can you build those in? Can you set an alarm on your phone that tells you to breathe once a day? That's a good little infusion. Little bits of joy, little bits of control, little bits of heavy box food, little bits of movement. Stand up right now and do 3 squats. No weights, 3 squats. Boom, you're done in 5 seconds. That's a huge step. It's enormous. It's an enormous step. It's taking care of yourself. It's lightening the load. See how you feel after that, knowing that you did that for yourself. You feel lighter. Trust me. Whatever that step is for you. Bear with me, you guys. I'll be here next week. In the meantime, be well. Keep the emails coming. I love it. And I don't know. This is just so cool. All right, you guys. Be well.
Trusting. Wondering where the hell the world came from. Give up.